Hello and welcome to another edition of Inside Network Marketing. This is your host, Len Clements, and this is April 11th, 2014. This show, Randy and Kathy will not be on the show with me this time because it's going to be all just my guests and I in the kitchen. So for those of you who are new to the show, the segment, the interview segment is called The Kitchen, as in if you can't stand the heat, stay out of. So everybody knows that I try to stay away from all of the softballs and the blowing of the love kisses like you hear in most interviews in this industry, and get to ask all the questions that everybody wants me to ask. And my goal at the end of these interviews is to always leave it to where no one can come back and say, why didn't he ask that? So at this end, we're going to get some, hopefully some definitive answers to kind of what's going on with Vima and BK Barreco. So my guest today is, in fact, BK. BK, thanks for taking the time for being on the show today.
Hey, and Len, I like that. I love the name of the show because I actually, in my previous life, was a short order cook. I worked at a steakhouse called Bonanza, and yeah. And then a coffee shop called Hobo Joe's. And so I can still grill a mean steak, and you can feel free to ask me anything you want, except for how much I weigh. I'm working on that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I say I can ask anything I want. You don't have to answer everything necessarily, of course.
And I apologize for my voice. I've been talking so much. I mean, you know, I talk for a living, and I've been talking so much. My voice has actually been.
I know you've been a hot item, a good get now for the interview circuit. So I know you've been doing a lot of talking recently. And by the way, the only job I ever had to clock in on was Taco Bell.
Hey.
So not exactly Bonanza,
they serve breakfast now.
I knew how to flip the ground beef anyway. Just to kind of set the tone here, let me give a little background because some people are listening to this might not be completely aware of what's going on with Vima and some announcements you've made recently. There's some, I guess, confusion in the industry right now as to really what direction Vima is going. There's a lot of misconceptions, I know, rumors.
Forward is
going forward. Yes. Like, for example, I went to the A&P event here just a couple weekends ago, and even at that event, there was a couple of people approach me during the breaks with the same question. If I could confirm the truth about whether or not Vima had left MLM, or won't even use the term dumped the MLM model. When I got home, there's a couple of messages, you know, asking basically the same question. Is it true that Vima is not MLM anymore? And, you know, there's a watchdog site out there that not only had Vima leaving MLM, MLM pay plan specifically, but you were even leaving Vima. So I know that's not true either, obviously, and you've dispelled that on other interviews. But I think where a lot of that's coming from is, and I'm actually going to ask you a question here and give you all the time you need to answer it, but just, again, kind of set the scene. Back in January, you did a video, and I'm quoting here. You said,
"Hey, thank you for the award. I'm honored that I was chosen as CEO of the year, and I want to thank you for that. I think you're doing a great work for the industry, and I appreciate it.
Oh, I appreciate it. Thank you. And yeah, good strategy, by the way. Butter me up before I get to my questions.
No, not at all.
No, actually, I'm going to get to that. That's one of my questions coming up. But anyway, you said we are getting away from multi-level marketing and network marketing and going to affiliate marketing. It was a pretty definitive statement. And then in an email I sent you regarding that the Academy, and this was right before the voting deadline had ended, and I remember you had agreed a year ago to be an Academy member and participate in all of this. So the voting deadline was coming up, and I was sending emails after everybody hadn't voted yet. I said, hey, BK, can you get in there and vote? So in context to that question, you wrote back and said, I'm moving away from MLM. Affiliate marketing is my focus. Again, understanding that affiliate, if you line up 100 people against the wall and ask them what's affiliate marketing, that had any idea what it was, most of them would say, what's affiliate marketing? But 98 would probably say, well, it's like Amazon, where it's a little single-digit percentage and it pays on one level. So, again, reinforcing the idea, you're
actually,
leaving.
Actually, pay up to 10%, so double digit.
It's up to 10%,
and,
yeah.
And last year, paid out $2.4 billion to
its... The point is, affiliate marketing in the minds of most people is still a single-level type of situation.
Imagine what Amazon did $70 billion with a crappy pay plan. Imagine what they could do with my pay plan.
Yeah, imagine what they could do if they were MLM. So... But then you said affiliates, this is in your 2013 income disclosure, affiliates are utilizing a business model very similar to Amazon.com affiliate program. And again, very similar to this single level plan. And then finally, on a slideshow you did, I think back in November, you said, I made a huge decision to move away from the network marketing MLM business model. not the words you describe to it or whatever, but specifically the model, and align Vima with an affiliate marketing business model. So I think that's where the confusion's coming from, and that's where a lot of people are getting the perception that you're completely leaving the MLM even to compensation model. So I'll start off with an easy question. We'll kind of go up in ascending order. So here's an easy one. Is Vima still a multi-level marketing company?
You can define it any way you'd like. I mean, in affiliate marketing, the term is called multi-tier. Mm-hmm. I've heard feedback from people about you're still MLM or are you affiliate? And whatever makes, you know, some people would rather be right than be happy. I'm the guy that likes to be happy. I mean, whatever you want to call us, you can call us. I made the decision, and since Vima started 9 years ago, we've always done a few things differently, and we never charged a sign-up fee. It was always like a click-through, kind of like with iTunes for our policies and procedures. Didn't have a kit that people had to buy. Our customer price and our affiliate price has always been the same. There was never a disincentive to be a customer by charging them 5, 10, 15, 20, 30% more than what a distributor would pay. We never had any kind of renewal fees. So we did some things that were different. When the story goes back to about middle of last year when I was reading in Fast Company magazines, King Bezos was the cover story. I was being interviewed by Gilman, who's writing a book, who's a social media industry guy. I forget, John Gilman or somebody like that. Now I feel bad, I don't remember his name. So anyways, the question that was asked to me, what is the biggest problem with network marketing executives, you know, the corporate guys? And I said, well, we get paid for paying attention. And most corporate focus on what they are doing and maybe one or two of their competitors. They never really focus on what's going on in other industries that are similar or not so similar. I mean, to give you an example, we have a very robust business app for our affiliates, and we give it away to them for free. I've spent over almost $1 million on just mobile technology. We want to be one of the most aggressive companies with mobile technology. You know, 7.2 billion mobile devices are connected to the internet right now. Hewlett Packard says within 3 years that's going to go to 10 billion mobile devices connected to the internet. So we want to be the company that people point to and say, hey, this is, if you want a good mobile strategy, follow what Vima's doing. And one of the ideas that we got came from a VoIP company out of Europe called Viper. And how they build their network is they have this texting feature that allows, you know, your address book to be accessed and, you know, text all your friends, hey, join Viper, you know. And I saw that and I went, oh my gosh, you know, because we're in the business of having conversations. And how can we get, especially the newest person getting started, how can we get them to have a conversation with their friends about what we're doing? And so I saw that and I said, hey, that would be great for our app. One of the most popular features in our app, we have, you know, three brands. We got the Vima brand, we got the Verve brand, and we've got the Body brand. And so, you know, how this feature works is it takes your Facebook contacts and your friends list from your phone, makes it into a prospect list. I scroll through, I see Len Clements. I go, you would be great for Verve. I click on your name, I click on the Verve brand, a little pre-populated text comes up with a little minute and a half video attached to it. Since it's like, hey Len, this is blowing up, you gotta check it out. And this isn't like email marketing. If you and I are buddies, I send you a text, you know, 94% of texts get opened in the first 3 minutes. And you watch the video, and when you watch it, I get a push notification on my app that says Len Clements is watching the Verve video, goes from my prospect list to my hot list to be able to follow up, to be able to have a conversation with. And so corporate executives typically are just watching what other competitors are doing, and they're staying in this same space. And when I started this conversation, you know, when I saw that a huge percentage of Amazon's $70 billion they do is third-party fulfillment, a light bulb went off, and I said, you know what? We pay for third-party fulfillment right now. Why don't I pay Amazon to do it? They had 89 warehouses across North America, and I thought, you know, this is a great idea. So one of my CEO buddies, next-door neighbor, is the guy that that is in charge of the Kindle division up in Seattle. And he gives me, you know, he texts him, he puts me in contact with the guy, you know, high-level discussions with Amazon senior people for a couple months. The challenge is that Amazon isn't really set up for a company like us that's shipping about 100,000 boxes domestically a month. They're set up for smaller type businesses, and it would have cost us between $300,000 and $400,000 more per month to fulfill through Amazon. And I even told the guys at Amazon, I said, hey, I'll pay $100,000 or more a month. For $1 million, I would pay that to be able to have my products come in an Amazon box and be able to have that affiliation. And during these talks, I started asking them, you know, kind of peppering them with questions about their Amazon or about their affiliate program, because when you look at, you know, the perception in the industries, and I, like I've said before, I had nothing to do with the perception people have of Amway. You know, if you, like you said, you line 100 people up and you ask them about Amway, and you line 100 people up and you ask them about Amazon, I'm pretty sure you're going to get two completely different responses. And so I was asking about their affiliate program, and you know, they're one of the most successful affiliates on the planet. And I just, it dawned on me. It was like, they're like us, except they got a crappy pay plan. And, you know, I talked to a couple other, you know, people in the affiliate space, and you know, my secret to success is I surround myself with people that are smarter than I am. And I got some feedback, and I said, you know what, we are so close to having an affiliate compensation plan now. Let's make a few other changes and be able to go all in when it comes to affiliate marketing. Are we a multi-tier affiliate plan? Yeah, you know, it's semantics. I mean, if you want to call it multi-level, you want to call it multi-tier, it's basically the same thing. We just use a different nomenclature. You say tomato, I say tomato.
Except you're not calling it a multi-level marketing company or MLM in the context of what an MLM company is perceived to be.
Well, see, MLM,
you're trying to get away from that.
Yeah.
So to kind of get away from the stigma and the prejudice and so
forth. Well, no. You know, I got to tell you, first and foremost, I'll stop you. I love MLM. MLM put my parents on the map, put me on. Everything I have is because of MLM. I am not dissing MLM. What I am saying is there is a perception. People's perception is reality. I can fight that perception, or I can paint a new perception. Because what we do as a company is different than other MLM companies, but you want to paint them with the same brush. When you look at our compensation plan, we don't really care about levels. I mean, you know, a person could place an order for a case of Verve in Taiwan on your 50th level, and it's the same. You get the same credit as if they're in Tempe on your first level.
So the fact you have a binary plan somehow makes the distinction that you're not MLM?
Well, the definition of multi-level. Multi-level is defined by payout by levels. We do by volume. I mean, ours is your right side volume, your left side volume. Levels don't play the kind of role that it would do in like a unilevel plan or in a stair-step breakaway plan.
So Mona V and USANA then would not be multi-level marketing companies?
They can call themselves whatever they want.
I'm talking about the actual, what they actually are.
More network marketing. I mean, if you want to get away from MLM and just say, you know, what's the difference between network marketing and MLM?
Well, their words are synonymous. People have tried to make distinctions, but network marketing was the word that came up to get away from the stigma of multi-level marketing. So if someone said, is this multi-level marketing, you could say, no, it's network marketing. But then, of course, people would inevitably find out that it's the same thing.
Maybe I should try doing multi-volume marketing, MVM, because that's more descriptive. If you want to be transparent with people and you want to give them a better idea how income is earned, levels don't come into play in our description. We don't talk about levels. We talk about volume. You got right side volume, you got left side volume. So if binary is outside of MLM or maybe it's more of a network marketing or multi-volume, it's semantics. Well, Lynn, you can call me anything you want to call me. You can call me CEO of the year if you want. What I'm telling you is I want us to, you know, we're bringing in last month, 31,000 new customers and affiliates. A huge majority of those were young people, probably 15, 18,000 were young people. They don't understand MLM. They don't understand Amway. They could ask their parents to get a better idea, but you know what they understand? They understand Amazon, how Amazon, they probably ordered something from Amazon in the last month. They understand you can order it from your phone or from your desktop. It shows up in a day or two on your doorstep. You don't see any Amazon stores popping up around the country. It's all our business model. And so we made a few other changes to our compensation plan that are more conducive with affiliate marketing than they are with multi-level marketing. And so I think we've earned the right to be able to call ourselves whatever we want to call ourselves.
Okay, so I've heard you say that on other interviews. It's just semantics. It's just what we're calling it. But, you know, there is some pretty clear definitions out there of what a multi-level marketing company is. The DSA has defined it. A consortium of six of the best MLM attorneys have defined it in conjunction with the MLMIA. There are five states that specifically define it. And in spite of what some people have said recently, the FTC has absolutely specifically defined what a multi-level marketing company is. And I know in FTC versus Equinox and FTC versus FutureNet are just two of them that I know off the top of my head. I'm sure there are others if we research it. There's a definition section in those cases. And every one of them say essentially the same thing. I'm going to use the DSAs because it's just the most succinct. It's the seller has a financial incentive to get another seller. That okay, is a that, multi-level that, marketing okay. company.
Would that definition also be true for a multi-tier affiliate plan?
If it's more than one level, yes.
Okay, so I'm just trying to...
So I'm saying is, if I say, you know, I'm going to pick you up in my Jag, and I pick you up in a Honda, I can't just say, well, BK, you can call it a Honda if you want. You know, I'm calling it a Jag. It's not a Jag. It's a Honda.
You're obviously into labels.
I'm into facts about what things actually are, BK. So, I'm not into labels. That's my point.
Well, no, you're saying a Jaguar's got a label and it has a name on it and everything like that. What I'm saying to you is we've made some changes. Okay, the changes that we made in our compensation plan, there's no other MLM company that does what we do. So do you want us to be the only company in MLM that operates from a compensation plan wise, or would you like us to be similar to several different affiliate marketing companies that have the same kind of, you know, you don't have to buy any product to earn bonuses, you don't have to, there's no sign-up fee, there's no renewal fees, you know, customers and affiliates pay the same price. I mean, there's not a, you name one company that's doing, in MLM, that's doing what we're doing, and I might give a little more credence to your argument. Until you do that, I'm like, why do you want to paint me into a box because of my pay plan? When my business model is way more conducive to how affiliates operate. The only thing's different, and what you're getting hung up on, is how I pay my advertising dollars. You know, the Google $2.4 billion, and they categorize their affiliate payout as advertising dollars. And so what you're going to do is you're going to say, because you pay your advertising dollars out different, you have a different business model. But our operations, the way we operate our business model, is way more like an affiliate company than an MLM company. In fact, there's no other MLM company that you could point to that does business the way we do business.
The reason why it's important to me, and apparently to a lot of other people out there too, is...
But you don't even buy product from me, so what do I care what you think?
It's not what I think. I'm speaking on behalf of a lot of other people. I'm sure you know who they are now.
But are they my customers? My responsibility.
I'm getting to how this affects your people in a minute. I've got to try to keep an order to this. You said one of the things you're doing differently than all these other MLM companies is this and this and this, which implies that MLM does it this other bad way. Like, for example...
No, I'm not saying bad. I'm saying different. You know, don't make me out like I'm dissing MLM. I'm not. I love MLM.
Maybe not bad, but you're doing it in some kind of better way.
Well,
why would you do it?
Isn't that marketing 101? Is you always want to get better?
Well, here's my point. When you say that you don't require a product purchase, doesn't that imply that MLM does? When in fact, previous to April 1st, when you made all these changes, of the 800 or 900 MLM companies in the industry, BK, I can think of two that actually required their distributors to buy product to qualify: Melaleuca and Vima. So all you've done is caught up to the rest of the industry. Virtually all MLM companies do not require product purchases. They allow customer volume to 100% count towards their quota. So you're accusing the MLM industry of doing something that actually only you did, other than maybe one other company.
First off, I'm not accusing MLM of anything. I love MLM. I don't know how many times you want me to say it. I'm not dissing them.
Well, you love the industry, you said, requires distributors to buy their product. I'm saying that's not true. They don't do that.
How many MLM companies have the same price for retail customers and distributors?
Not many.
Okay.
You saw a few other ones. But That's not the point.
Well, no. You're taking one of our ways of doing business, and you're saying that's the whole story.
No. That's just the one I'm on now.
But everybody, how many MLM companies out there have everybody first join as a customer?
Well, let's jump to that. And by the way, before I get that, because I'm going to lose this, because I have no short-term memory at all.
But what I want you to understand is I'm not here to argue with you. I'm not here to defend what we're doing. I'm here to answer some questions, whether you like the answers or not.
No. I'm trying to get to them and look for some more definitive answers. It's just not about Len. I can call myself whatever I want and do whatever I want. It goes deeper than that. And anyway, in the FTC case where they define multi-level marketing, they defined it where you can place the promoter can place other participants in a downline, a tree, a cooperative, an income center, or other similar grouping. Income center is even a term specific to binaries. So saying you're a binary and you don't have levels, that the FTC would still say that fits, obviously, that description. Plus, you have a matching bonus, which is paid out on a unilevel structure by line of sponsorship. So clearly you have levels. You're multiple levels of people marketing.
80% of our bonuses that are paid, and we pay out over $2 million a week in bonuses, 80% of that money comes from a cycle bonus, which has nothing to do. I mean, we have incentives, other incentives, but 80% of the vast majority, you'd have to agree, is paid out, and it doesn't have anything to do with levels.
Right. No, the vast majority is paid from a cooperative tree under what's commonly referred to as an income center, which are three of the terms the FTC used. They're basically clearly saying it doesn't have to be specifically levels. It's just any kind of grouping like that. But anyway, I'm sure we can agree being binary doesn't make you not MLM. USANA, Motivi, they're MLMs. But anyway, back to your point about starting off as a customer. If you can start off as a customer. You have to start off as a customer, as I understand it. And you can become an affiliate by enrolling a customer or an affiliate, or you can just buy the $499 affiliate pack that'll upgrade you to affiliate. So the first question I would have there is, everyone starts off as a customer, and one of the ways you can become an affiliate is by enrolling an affiliate. How can you enroll an affiliate if everybody has to start off as a customer?
You're enrolling customers, and then what the customer decides to purchase is going to, if you enroll a customer, they don't have to become an affiliate. If another customer enrolls a customer, that's optional. It's, hey, here's your free upgrade, so to speak. If you want to take advantage of it, great. If you don't, hey, that's great, because you know, our customers and our affiliates can both earn free product. You know, if they get three customers, they're going to get a free case of product. If they get six customers, they get two free cases of product. And so that's open to everybody. If you come in and you say, hey, I want to buy an affiliate pack, which, by the way, less than, I think it's like 8% or less than, I know less than 10% of the people actually purchase an affiliate pack. It's completely optional. There's no time limit attached to it. You can do it whenever you want. We do have some other incentives attached to it, but it is not the, you know, it's by far not the majority of the way that people come in to join BIMA.
But you can then immediately join as an affiliate if you wanted to.
You come in as a customer, you can upgrade yourself to an affiliate.
That's not the question. If you have to come in as a customer, how long after you sign up as a customer can you buy the affiliate pack and become an affiliate?
Well, you can buy the affiliate pack with your first order. Everybody signs up for free. You don't have to make any purchase with us to become a customer with us.
You can just sign up as a customer for free.
Yes.
And literally a few seconds later, I click on the affiliate pack and say buy, and now I'm an affiliate.
You're an affiliate, yes.
So isn't it a little disingenuous to say everyone starts off as a customer when someone's only a customer literally for a few seconds before the application process hasn't even been completed yet before they become an affiliate?
Well, no, the application process is complete before we have a person place their order. But if would you rather have me say 97 or 93% of the people that come in as customers? I mean, how specific? And I know, Len, you're a real brain.
I'm saying you're doing the same thing everybody else does. You can sign up as an affiliate or sign up as a customer.
Len, I know you're a real left brain kind of guy. I'm a right brain kind of guy. Okay? If you want to get down to splitting hairs, everybody comes in as a customer. You didn't ask me how long they stay a customer. Okay? If they stay a customer 10 seconds or if they stay a customer 10 years, what's it matter to you?
It matters to me because it's a follow-up question. You said you're doing all these things that are different. One of the things you said you were doing different is not requiring product purchases, which isn't different. In fact, you still require only half the customer's volume counts towards your qualification.
No auto ship requirements to receive bonuses.
a lot of companies don't require auto. They incentivize auto sales. They don't require it.
We're not talking about all those other companies. We're talking about
We're talking about your statement that you're doing all these things differently than other MLM companies. Thus, you get to call yourself something different. I'm trying to find out what these things are you're doing differently. So you're not doing anything differently by not requiring product purchases. Mm-hmm. What you're doing differently is only counting half of the customer volume towards the distributor when every other company counts 100% of it. So you've actually created an incentive there to more incentivize purchasing the products to qualify rather than getting customers compared to most other MLM companies.
We want the first goal for every affiliate to be getting their product for free. We're not changing the amount of money that we pay out in our compensation plan, but this move is actually going to cost me more money because we're going to be giving more free product away and making it easier for people to get free product. And so when you look at you're taking each individual thing and comparing it to different companies. And what I'm saying is you need to take all of our changes, all of our moves in its entirety
I'm going down the list, every single one of them. I'm trying to figure out how this makes you different from the rest of the industry.
You're a smart guy. Tell me what other MLM company does business the way we do business.
Well, if you mean how many others count customer volume,
all of them,
BK, that's my point. Almost all of them doing it the exact same way Vima is doing it.
Really?
I'm trying to understand how
everybody,
you're doing it differently.
Because I'm just trying to get this clear in my own mind, because maybe you're right and I'm wrong. I know you're smarter than I am because I've been working since I was 14.
Well,
there's a
big difference between intelligence and common sense. I'll tell you that right now.
So what you're saying is the vast majority of MLM companies do not have a sign-up fee, don't have a kit, don't have renewals. They charge the same price for their customers as they do for distributors. They don't have any kind of auto delivery, auto ship requirements, and everybody first joins as a customer. You're saying the majority of MLM companies incorporate all of those changes.
You just left out all the big ones that you say you did that was different, that we pretty much defined wasn't different.
All I'm asking for, Len, just give me one company name that does business the way we do business. Just give me one.
You're doing a lawyer trick on me here. If you give me 10
I'm not a lawyer.
Show me a company that does all 10 of these things.
I'm like the least.
BK.
What you're saying is you're looking at a corner of a painting and you're trying to analyze the beauty of that.
You keep saying what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to explain to you what I'm doing, and I can't get to the end of my sentence here. Okay, you got 10 different items, let's say, on this list. And you say, show me a company that does all 10 of these. I probably can't show you very many of them. I can show you a whole bunch of them that do 6 or 7 or 8 of them, and most of the most important ones. And there's several companies out there that don't charge an entry fee. There's a lot of companies that don't require auto ship. Again, virtually every other company doesn't require the distributors to buy the product. They count 100% of the customer volume to meet that quota, so you don't have to buy any product at all. Vima is actually a little behind on that, because you only count half of it, which again incentivizes buying the product yourself, not getting customers.
I'm working every day to stay relevant, you know. And if we need to keep continuing to improve, we'll keep continuing to improve. But you know what? I want to be the poster child for the regulators to be able to say, you know what, that's the way you should do business. That's a fair way. You know, we've got 100% money back guarantee on resellable product for a year. We got a 30-day money back guarantee on a case of Verve. If you drink 6 cans, we'll give you all your money back.
As most companies do.
Who gives 100%? I know most companies do 90%, but I mean,
A lot of companies do 100%. Okay. I mean, 100% is for a shorter period of time, 90% for a year. But it's not uncommon.
You know what? What I'm trying to do here is I'm trying to build a company that it gives people the best chance of being successful. I'm trying to build a company that is proud of its products to the point where we're saying, hey, if you don't like them, we're going to give you a product. We'll give you your money back. I'm trying to build a company that is relevant. And I'm doing the best I can. Am I perfect? No. I just think I want to do things a little bit better than the next guy.
See, but I make my living in MLM, not as a distributor at the moment, but and I know a lot of good people that do. So when you make comments,
you want to become an affiliate, give me a call.
You know, when you make comments like you want to have the FTC look at you and be bulletproof, that's why you're making these changes to be different than typical MLM companies. Logically, how can you not wire that up to mean these other MLM companies are more vulnerable to FTC action?
Well, I'm not an insider. on the FTC agenda. You know, I know about as much as you know about what the Herbalife case is going on. All I know is there's I just want to treat people like I'd like to be treated from a business standpoint, and I'm making my policies and I'm making my operations just like that, to reflect that. And so there's a lot of companies in MLM right now that are recycling older concepts that Big Smart did, that KM.net did, that Skybiz did. I mean, it's like the fashions are coming back into fashion, and they can do what they want to do because they've earned the right to do that. But I just want to do business a little bit differently, and don't hate me for being different.
You're still trying to figure out what the big differences are, but let's move on to another subject. If this was a deposition, your attorney would be saying, objection, asked and answered, badgering the witness. So one of the main concerns a lot of people have out there, of course, is by trying to depart from MLM, uh-huh. Although you're not directly saying MLM is bad, I get that, but you're saying that you're better in some way by making these changes that somehow imply there's something wrong with the traditional way MLM is
doing. Wrong. It's just different. It's just not wrong. It's different.
Okay.
We made changes that are different than most MLM companies. In fact, we've made changes that are different than, I believe, unless you tell me wrong, all other MLM companies, okay? And so that's okay. I mean, it doesn't mean that I'm right. I could be completely wrong, Len.
Okay, quote, Vima also chose to move to an affiliate marketing model because it's more customer acquisition focused and aligned with its current standards, end quote. How does that not imply that MLM is not customer focused and of a lower standard? How can anyone interpret that any other way?
I don't know. I interpret it any way you want. I mean, what I'm doing is, you know what? Here, Len, I'm going to invest over the next 3 years. I'm going to invest close to $20 million in purely customer acquisition activities to be able to help my affiliates become the most successful affiliates in the business. I mean, this is the direction that I'm taking. Our product mix is massively consumable. I mean, you put a case of Verve in a young person's house and it's gone in a couple days. I mean, it's what we're focused on is we're focused on the fact that we've almost got this unfair advantage that our product mix is we're in the beverage business and people suck this stuff down and they reorder it and they love it, whether they're a customer or whether they're an affiliate.
You know, just so you understand, I like Vima. I mean, obviously, you know, and I didn't have a chance to really say this in the beginning. I should have. I mean, you've always been one of my favorite people in this business, one of the people I've respected the most, one of the people I admired the most.
Then why grinding my ass?
And one of the reasons why, because you were doing all of that as the CEO of an MLM company,
right?
And you were proudly doing that. And now you're saying things like in the, I think the Post interview or something, you said, why not clean up now? That was your words, clean up now, before I hit $1 billion and get bulletproof, so when the regulators hear your name, they'll say, this is the way it should be done. Doesn't that suggest that MLM, the way you were doing it, is somehow unclean?
No.
I mean, you keep
I think what you need to understand, I think what people realize is that business evolves. There's an evolution going on right now. There's an FTC investigation going on with Herbalife. I don't know how it's going
to,
you know.
Which you're kind of giving credibility and credence to.
Well, you know what? The reporter for the Post asked me if I was the CEO of Herbalife, what changes would I make? And I said, I've got a hard enough time, you know, being the CEO of Bemis. I don't want to even go there. But if I was the CEO of Herbalife, would I make some changes? Absolutely. Absolutely. I would make them, changes.
So first of all, I would make them a binary plan with a match. Herbalife would double overnight if they did that. Anyway.
But what I'm saying is that there is, and I'm trying to pick my words not to offend older, more established companies. But those companies are probably the slowest to change. Because if it ain't broke, don't fix it is extremely common. And I'm always, you know, yelling at my team, let's break something. I mean, let's do something outside the box. Let's be innovative. You know, I brought innovation to the wellness industry. I mean, with our healthy energy drink and our functional beverage line, I would make changes. Absolutely. I'd make change. If I was a CEO of probably any multi-level company besides Veeam, I'd be making changes, because that's just what I do. I like to innovate. I like, you know, my dad used to tell me, if you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. And so, I didn't get into any details of the changes I'd make, but does Herbalife need to make changes? In my opinion. And what the heck do I know? I'm a little teeny company in a $30 billion domestic market. But in my opinion, yes, they should make some changes. And they've already made some changes, but I think they need to make a few more changes. Whether the government says this is going to be, you know, whether they bring in, you know, franchise type legislation to our industry, who knows? You know, I'm hoping the storm that's brewing off in the distance, with the regulatory agencies and network marketing blows out to sea. But it may come inland, and it's up to me as a good steward to kind of have a little bit of a Noah syndrome, and I want to build an ark and give my people as safe an environment to grow and do business as possible. It may not be perfect, but I think we're doing it better.
Here's the thing, Ackman's accusations, which, by the way, right in line with all these other anti-MLM critics that are out there. There's a little handful of them, but they're prolific, and you know who they are, the Robert Fitzpatrick's, the John Taylor's, the Tracy Conan's, the blah, blah, blahs. They all say the same thing, basically, Ackman's saying, and that is...
And by the way, I get no Christmas cards from any of those people.
Oh, no, so believe me, I don't either. But, that's my point. You may soon, because what they're essentially saying is... In fact, I just listened to Robert Fitzpatrick on an interview earlier this week on somebody else's podcast, this guy who's anti-MLM, of course. He never brings somebody like me on there. He's got to get somebody who supports his own view. And the biggest thing that he hit us with was... You know, 99% fail. It's mostly products that are purchased just obligatorily to meet their quota. There's really no retail customers. And what the FTC is looking at supposedly is should only volume that's retailed to actual non-distributor customers be commissioned, which would be the Webster versus Omnitrition Ninth Circuit case. First of all,
I don't agree with that stance. No, I mean,
you know, we don't want anybody to beat Herbalife on those claims. And you don't want to give anybody more credibility to that case that, yes, that is how MLM, because you know why. First of all, it's not 99%.
It's like saying, that's how ridiculous that stance is. That's like saying if you own a 7-Eleven franchise, you should not be able to purchase products from your 7-Eleven.
It's a ridiculous
theory.
The same with the market saturation. By the way, Robert Fitzpatrick, I don't want to get up on him, but he actually believes and said on this show that downlines form diamond shapes with the widest points at the base. I mean, that's how ignorant he is of how this actually works. But, you know, because they're all going to hit ultimate market saturation. Those at the bottom have to lose money. Mathematically, they have to lose money, even though every successful distributor in history was at the bottom when they joined. But anyway, we both know that's all complete crap. But the point is, and this actually goes back to a perfect example of this is Troy Dooley, who we both know, who I very much like and respect. But I saw that, you know, the exchange between you guys and Mel Atwood and Tony Cannulli on the Facebook page. And Troy made a point, which I think is very poignant. He said, we're an industry that now for decades just keeps defending itself against these same claims over and over and over and over. Maybe we should wake up and understand that maybe there's something to be said for all of these things we're defending ourselves against. Maybe there's a problem here we need to fix. Maybe we need to change. Well, with all due respect to Troy, I completely disagree with him.
Hey, you know, that puts Troy and I in a very large group.
No, but here's
you completely disagree with.
This industry isn't, we're not defending ourselves against the same things over and over and over. We're getting attacked on the same things over and over and over. And the reason for that is because we're not defending ourselves over and over and over. We are literally like the U.S. Marines against cavemen with rocks and spears. That's who those critics are. Except we have our eyes closed and our chins jutted out and our hands behind our back and we're saying, fire away. That's the only reason why Herbalife might lose this battle, is because nobody in this industry fights back. Because it's a dirty job. Nobody wants to do it. All I'm saying is, and this is just, I'm riffing now, so this is probably going to be a horrible analogy. I'm going to offend a lot of people. But imagine you were Muslim, and you just got tired of people saying, well, you must be a terrorist. So you said, you know what? I'm still going to be a Muslim. I'm still going to read the Quran. I'm still going to pray to Mecca. I'm going to do everything Muslim does, but I'm just going to say I'm not a Muslim anymore. I'm going to call myself something different. I have a right to do that. I can call myself whatever I want. It's just nomenclature. It's just semantics. Well, yeah, except that there's a whole bunch of other Muslims out there that you were a leader of that was not a terrorist, and in fact was a very good person in that community, that are all saying, we don't want you to believe and deny you're one of us. We want you to stick with us and stand up. And all these idiots out there that have this stereotype and this ignorance and this prejudice that's invalid, help us change it and help us defend it, because you're one of the good people that can do that. And actually, although some may be offensive, that's an analogy fits what we're doing here perfectly. Don't walk away from MLM and saying we're not that to get away from the stigma. Tell people why the stigma and all that crap is wrong, because you were doing it right. You were one of the good MLM companies. I mean,
first off, I'm not touching that analogy with a 10-foot pole. Second,
I didn't mention Muhammad. I'm not stupid.
No, but second is
I guess I just did.
This is business. This isn't a religion. This is here's what I have as a huge responsibility as the CEO of this company is I want to be able to create an environment that gives really the person the best chance to succeed. And I shudder to think at the amount of people that would have been great in our space that get excited, they go and talk to a well-meaning family member or friend, and they say, oh, you're in one of those things, and they get blown out of the industry, and they're gone forever. Now, if you were able to have them even be more transparent with the way we do business and say, you know what, we're not like an Amway thing, we're kind of like an Amazon thing. You know, just one word change, and all of a sudden the perception of that prospect, whether it be a new customer or whether it be a new affiliate, is completely different, because they understand Amazon. And a lot of people have misconceptions about Amway, which I had nothing. You know, Chenault gave me a hard time about taking a swipe at Amway. Man, my parents got into Amway when I was 7 years old. I mean, I used to work in the Amway store. I've been in this industry since I was seven, and so. No disrespect to Amway, okay? But I didn't have anything to do with the perceptions that people have established over the years. And what I want you to realize is that newest person can't fight like you. You're smart. You're schooled. You had a high belief level. The newest person, what they do is they quit. And that doesn't do anybody any good.
No, I'm not asking your distributors to defend the industry.
We call them affiliates. We call them affiliates. Hey, I'll defend MLM. I believe in MLM. You know, I don't want to be called MLM, but I'll still defend it. So I won't have anybody criticize, you know, get away with criticizing MLM.
Well, I think I was going to ask, if a Vima affiliate was asked, is this MLM, what would you have them say? But you kind of already answered that, because I remember one of the stories you were talking about. You said, I guess somebody, one of your distributors said, it's sort of like Avon, sort of like Amway, somebody completely shut down. And you said, well, what if you would have said it's sort of like Amazon, except it pays better? So in other words, you would suggest to that prospect, no, it's not one of those MLMs. It's like Amazon, only it pays better. Now the conversation can continue. I get that. But
who wins in that scenario?
Nobody. Because ultimately, ultimately, you're going in that conversation to get to your compensation plan. And when you get to your multi-level compensation plan, the person's going to say, you lied to me. You said this wasn't MLM. It was like Amazon. And now they're going to know it's not. Because here's... Everybody in this industry is
You know what the conversation's all about? Getting them to try the product. Hey, if they don't fall in love with the product, we got nothing.
Well, this isn't a product conversation. This is an answer to the question, is this MLM?
Our affiliates, they 90% plus lead with the product. Everybody's talking about Verve. Everybody's talking about, you know, Vima Renew. We, you know, had Jenny McCarthy doing a press conference in New York this morning, you know, telling how great she thinks Vima Renew is. So we're a product-based opportunity.
Right,
but
the when someone asks the question, is this MLM, how do you want them to respond to that? I mean, you've said to tell them that's to suggest it's not. And they were going to see the comp. None of this.
Listen, whether I call it multi. Okay, in your mind, if I call it multi-tier versus multi-level, am I a liar?
Not if you call it multi-tier.
Well, that's what we call it, multi-tier. Okay.
So you're a multi-tier.
So what I'm
company.
Telling you, Len, is I need you to expand your mind, and maybe we're not going to be the first company from the network marketing arena that adopts some of these changes. I hope other companies, you know, adopt some of the changes we've adopted. Because if we can help the newest person get successful, everybody's a winner. You know, our customers win because they get a great product. You know, they're not losing money because it's like if you went to the store and bought a case of Red Bull and you go, I drank it all and I lost money. No, you didn't. You bought a product. You consumed it. You enjoyed it. And if you didn't consume it, you send us back the good ones and we'll give you your money back.
Well, I agree.
And so what I'm saying to you, Len, is it's just different. You know, I know your head, you want to stay in this little box of definitions
I don't know how I could not, maybe it's because I'm not getting enough to kind of make my point, but there's so much more to this than just the words you're using. There's some profound implications to what you're doing here and how it affects the space and ultimately how
I
it's going
so.
To affect your
I hope you're right.
Your affiliates.
I hope I make the space a better space. I hope I bring change. I know I'm not kidding myself. I know I'm a little boutique company. You know, we did $221 million last year. You know, we grew $100 million in a craft.
You're being modest. That's not boutique. That's
yeah,
a hugely successful company.
Hey, it's a $30 billion space.
By the way, it's $221 million last year. You have over 100,000 affiliates. You had an 89% growth from 2012. That begs the question, if it's not broke, why fix it?
That's what everybody's asking me.
Well, why not? Why fix that?
Because what I said earlier.
The best year you ever had as a quote-unquote MLM company.
What I said, hey, I'm the most, Vima is the most successful company that I've ever been the CEO of. I mean, I'm the most successful now than I've ever been in my career. And I've been doing this as an owner for 19 years. And what I'm saying is what got us to where we are isn't necessarily going to get us to where we want to go. And all everybody wants to do is just get to where we want to go. You know, I want to be, you know, cooperative with any kind of regulatory agencies. I want to be, you know, some of the best feedback I get are from people that criticize me. You know, the people that say this and they say that. And you've been a great resource for me. And what I want you to know and the other critics to know and is that I'm listening. I may not give you the answer in the time frame that you want or maybe give you the answer at all. But I am listening, and I will always continue to listen, and I'll always continue to pay attention to what's going on in network marketing and what's going on in affiliate marketing, what's going on in technology, you know, what's going on in just the supplement industry. I mean, I want to pay attention in multiple areas and marketplaces and bring it together and create an environment for growth for my affiliates. That's all I want to do. I want to keep my customers happy, and I want to keep my affiliates successful. And that's the bottom line. Whether you agree with that strategy or you disagree, I still like you, Len.
History's a great teacher. You know, we can look back at almost everything's been tried in this business because it's been so many companies for so many years. What you're doing, even as far as just changing the words and changing the image, this isn't unique either. Melaleuca and Mary Kay's been doing it for years. Amway, to get away from the Amway stigma and the prejudice, created a whole new company so their distributors can say, no, it's not Amway. But every time someone got into a quick start pitch, inevitably they would get to the compensation plan and they would go, you lied to me, it is Amway. Every time there would be an expose on television about quick start, the big gotcha moment where the big reveal was, guess who they really are? And there's a big image of the Amway home office. And Melaleuca reps today, BK, when they tell people they're not a multi-level marketing company, they're mocked, they're ridiculed, they're laughed at for that because they're a 4x7 matrix, if you're crying out loud. And ultimately, and like I was saying before, every successful distributor I know of in this business, you listen to their story, will tell you in the beginning they were skeptical of MLM, some of them devoutly so. But yet someone managed to change their mind and define it and defend it in some way to get them to open their mind and look at it. But if you go to one of those prospects, because I agree with you, there are tens of thousands of future MLM superstars all around this country right now that are oblivious to this industry or have a skepticism against it. If you go to one of those people and you say, this isn't MLM, it's more like Amazon, except it pays better, and then you get to your comp plan, there's no taking that person back. You've lost them forever.
I don't agree with that. I mean,
they're going to see it as an MLM company because it's not what you call it. It's how everybody else in the world sees it.
Well, I know. But you know what? Do you know how few of people out there have read the FTC's definitions that you were spouting off earlier? I mean, what I'm saying to you is we're all about volume. We're about right side volume. We're about left side volume. And that is the basis of our compensation plan. But even before we get into the compensation plan, all we want to do is have people, if they like our products, you know, it's baby steps here. If they like our products, get a few customers, get your product for free. That's our compensation plan. You know what? If you want to learn and grow from there, you know, it's kind of like affiliate marketing and network marketing are kind of like sisters. I think the affiliate is a little hotter looking, but we're still related. You know, they still have the same DNA running through them. All right. I'm just saying, as they're sisters, there's differences, but there's similarities.
There is. If you do a Venn diagram of Vima or really any MLM and affiliate marketing, say Amazon, there is a sliver of overlap, absolutely. But to suggest that you're somehow way more like them than an MLM company now, you know, I mean, Amazon doesn't terminate affiliates promoting other affiliate programs. They don't have ranks. They don't have monthly sales volumes. Only 40% of their volume comes from their associates, what they call affiliates. They have 300,000 products in just their book category alone. And most importantly, Amazon affiliates can't make money from enrolling other Amazon affiliates, which is a monumental difference. That's how virtually most of the money is made in MLM, and it's impossible to make.
I got a call into Bezos. I'm going to talk to him about his compensation plan. It sucks. I agree with you. We're not debating Amazon's.
That's most affiliate programs.
This is what I want you to understand. What we're trying to accomplish is we're trying to have them have the newest person grasp the concept. We're not getting into the details. We're getting into the concept. Hey, you order on your phone. It shows up at your doorstep in a couple days. You know, with Amazon, there's a little icon on somebody's website that you click on. With us, you click with people. We just want concepts. We're not getting into specifics. You know, it's like, Len, I love you, but I'm just telling you, man, you're looking at the minutia of the details, and I'm trying to paint you a picture of a business opportunity, and you are analyzing each aspect of it. I mean, you would not be good. You wouldn't be good as an affiliate with us because you love the details. I want you to like the tune. You can learn the words to the song later, but just if you like the tune, then hum it, and we'll teach you as you go.
I'll look at it from a 10,000 point view, okay? I'm trying right now to create an organization called MAG, MMAG. You were around, I think, a couple of years ago in my first attempt at this, Multilevel Marketing Advocacy Group, which we're going to crowdfund. I've already got a board of directors together. We're starting to design the whole thing. It's finally an attempt in an organized way to defend the industry, which you think a trade association would be doing, but for some reason they don't do it. Specifically about the claims, you got to get in early at the top to make money, 99% don't make money, they're all going to saturate, you know, blah, 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 which every one of those points can be so easily, legally, mathematically, logically, demonstrably proven wrong. Every one of those points, but we don't defend ourselves. You Google MLM, four of the top 10 hits are anti-MLM sites, including the Wikipedia page, by the way, because it's been completely taken over by anti-MLM editors. We can change all of that overnight by just fighting back. And to see one of the good guys in the industry say, we're not going to participate in that cause, we're not going to proudly say we're MLM and define it and defend it in a better way and use itself as an example of how it should be done, we're going to simply disassociate ourselves with it and leave them to, you know, to burn if that's what the FTC wants to do with them or whatever.
You're so dramatic, Len.
Maybe that was hyperbole, but you're leaving it on its own to fend for itself.
Hey, you know what? I've been an owner in this industry for 19 years. Okay, it doesn't need me. It doesn't need any one person. It's bigger. It's a movement that's bigger than any one person. So I think you're giving me a little too much credit. And I've got to, you know, with all due respect to the other organizations out there, I've got to, you know, we all love children, but we love our own children more. My affiliates and my customers are the ones that I've got to look out for first and foremost. And
Time will tell. When you tell people it's not MLM and they keep people coming back going, you lied to me, it is. When that happens enough, maybe you'll see it a little differently. Because like I said, this is not a unique concept.
Well, hopefully they still love my product and at least stay honest customers. But I'm telling you, like I said in the beginning of the interview, Len, you may be right, I may be wrong. I mean, I'm just doing the best I can do. It may, you know, not be good enough, but it may actually get some traction.
I know we're both busy, and I promised I would keep this under an hour. I've already broken that. In fact, I think I promised you no more than 20 minutes.
Hour and 1 minute there.
Yeah. So. Just real quick, do you see any value then in remaining a member of the Direct Selling Association at this point?
Yes, I do. And when I, you know, Joe Mariano called me, and my first comment to him was, Joe, we're not breaking up. Like I said, it's important to pay attention to industries that are similar to what you want to do. I mean, you know, it's important to pay attention. And so, yes, I'm
Amazon,
saying
Amazon, Google, eBay, none of them are members of the DSA, and 85%
well, you know,
of them
funny,
are
funny,
multi-level marketing companies.
Funny thing is at the end of the conversation, you know, Joe said, you know, maybe the DSA should start including affiliate marketing companies. And because there are so many similarities between the two. And so maybe the DSA is going to expand its reach.
Is it because they don't allow them, or they just haven't felt that those companies, because they allow single level direct sales programs all the time?
And that's what Joe, that was Joe's point, was the fact that, you know, party plans are completely different than network marketing companies, and they're both a part of the DSA. So, you know, maybe in the future you'll see, because of this decision, that affiliate marketing, maybe, you know, Amazon and Google will be joining the DSA.
Well, I don't think it's because the DSA excludes them. I think it's because those companies, for whatever reason, don't think the DSA is applicable.
I don't know.
It's their choice to not join.
You know what I love about you is you think I know everything.
It was a rhetorical question, actually. And yeah, I do. But, okay, there are five states you have to register in as an MLM company. If Vima were to launch today, would you register in those five states?
I don't know. That's why I have two attorneys working for me. I'd have to follow their advice.
Kind of a cop-out answer. Come on.
No,
You would absolutely register in those five states. You know you would. You have to.
Dude, why do you even ask me the questions if you already have the answers? I mean, you know, it's like if my attorney said, yes, you need to do this, you know, then okay. I would do it. If
can
the
you,
attorney
can
said,
this?
No, we don't need to.
Can you ask your attorneys that question?
Absolutely.
And see, they're going to say yes, because you're a multi-level marketing company based on the definitions of those five states.
Why don't I go right now and ask them? I'll be back in an hour.
It's No, I would love to know the answer to that question.
Len, this is what I want to leave you with. I think you're a wonderful guy. You're a huge asset for the industry. I think you've got a skill set and gifts that are unique to you, and I'm glad that you are a part of making this a better industry, and you're extremely passionate about it. And so, with that, I'm gonna have.
I'll just make one parting comment, and then we're done. I think these, you know, these MLM denier type companies like Melaleuca, Mary Kay, maybe now that's Vima, they're all bound to this industry by an inseparable chain. And the ship that we call multi-level marketing, if that ever sinks, and it does appear we're taking on some water right now, Vima's going to get dragged down right along with it. There is nothing that you've done even remotely that is going to make it not be part of that industry if it sinks. So all I'm suggesting that perhaps you reconsider is, rather than trying to saw through that chain, maybe grab a bucket.
I was going to chew an arm off at one point. But anyways, hey, Len, I appreciate your passion. I don't see anything. When I use the analogy of Noah, I don't see anything that bad. I do see some changes coming, but I don't see anything, you know, that would sink an industry. I think that's a little dramatic. But
I don't either, except for the fact we're not fighting back. The jury is always going to side on the prosecution if they never hear from the defense. That's my only concern. That's how we could actually lose this latest battle.
Well, hey, man, I appreciate your work. You're great at it.
Okay, thank you, BK. And you too. You're still one of my favorite people. You're gonna accept the award for CEO of the Year of a multi-level marketing company?
I got it. And I have a trophy case that I'm going to proudly display it in.
All right, good.
All right, brother.
All right, we'll send it to you.
I appreciate you.
Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.